Good afternoon, Lake Norman. Hope everybody's well today. Justin Dione here with another Know the Scene, your show here in the Lake Norman region to find out what's going on around here culturally and in our scene in all the towns that make up our Lake Norman region. Got a great show to you today for you today with Karen Morgan, who's coming to perform at the center at Kane Center for the Arts here soon. But real quick, just hope everyone's enjoying spring. Springtime here in North Carolina now, officially in April. Although, you know, some could say spring in North Carolina starts like mid-March, which it did. It did start like early mid-March-ish, although winter held on a little bit longer. A little, I mean, if you want to call it winter. I mean, us North Carolinians call it winter. When we talk to Karen today, we'll probably learn about real winter that they have up there where she is. But we had our nice little, you know, winter-ish North Carolina thing. And now we're on to spring and it's green. I say green, I mean yellow, because it is that time of year where everything gets that nice shade of yellow here in the Southeast, North Carolina specifically, the pollinating, if you will. We're in that season. I went and bought some local honey over the weekend. Yeah, to try the local honey thing from a place in Huntersville, right there off of Gilead Road. They have a sign, you may see it. It's near that church on Gilead Road, near Lake Forest Church. They have a sign that says local honey. And I finally was like, I'm going to do that. So I did it. It's good honey. Just try it out if you get a chance. Lots of stuff's going to continue to go on. Now that the weather's warmer, you know, people are opening up their patios, opening up the decks. You know, you'll get out. Some people are already starting to get out on the water out here at the lake. So go out, enjoy this area. Some of our local cultural spots. You know, I know Boatyard has already got their outdoor stage popping. I know that Old Town Public House and Downtown Cornelius will have their patio going as usual. You know, you've got Hello Sailor and North Harbor Club and some of the great outdoor restaurants with outdoor lakeside dining. So get out there. Make sure you're enjoying this beautiful weather. Go check out the White Water Center sometime if you haven't yet already. They've got Tuck Fest coming up. And then also, of course, we've got Merle Fest coming here in a few weekends in North Carolina and Wilkesboro. Always a great, like, 4-day music festival up there. Great, great, great festival. I'm sure if you listen to the station, you're listening to a lot coming from Justin in the morning show about Merle Fest. So I'm going to be taking my camper this year to Merle Fest, seeing a lot of great bluegrass and folk acts. We're excited, and others. Excited to go do that. So get out there. But today we're going to talk about comedy because April has unofficially become comedy month here in the Cornelius Lake area. We've got some great, earlier in the month, we had Jeff Allen come back for a return performance that we had here at the center. Then Yay Day is happening, a local charity, Yay Day. Has a comedian coming through, and they came as well. And then now we've got Karen Morgan coming. So we've got like a month of comedy. We're excited. So help us welcome to the show, Karen. How are you doing?
Well, I don't have any pollen, but I have 10 inches of snow still in my
You
yard.
Have 10 okay. inches of snow still?
Yeah.
This is why I could never live in Maine.
We had a storm last Friday. We had a foot of snow. We lost power for 3 days. We just got internet back. So I'm happy to be with y'all today.
Wow. Yeah, I think I saw that in your email and I was like, surely I read that wrong.
No, you did not. It was so. And then we had the eclipse. So we have everything you want in Maine and it's supposed to be 60 degrees tomorrow or the next day. So it's welcome to Maine. We don't have spring here. We have what we call mud season.
Oh, interesting.
We just don't. And that's
is that
the
from
thing
like
I
the melt?
The
is that from like
South.
The melt and stuff? It like
yeah, it's yeah. It's when all the dirty snow piles, you know, they're uncovered. But anyway, it'll eventually. We'll get spring around end of May. That's when we usually get spring.
Oh, is that so, when it like? And is it really? Yeah, it sounds like people I know that live like in. You know, the Midwest, the upper Midwest areas like Minnesota and stuff. They're like, awesome. Summer really hits maybe closer to like mid to late June.
That's here. Which is why I'm so excited to be coming down there.
Yeah. Oh, it's nice down here now.
I'm happy to be coming down.
It's nice.
I miss spring the most. I've lived here 28 years.
Okay, I was going to say, how long have you been there?
Yeah, 28 years. But this is that last snowstorm, like the one we just had. It's usually that April snowstorm that just, I just cry. I'm like, well.
I would probably, my wife would do the same. She'd be like, yeah. I can't. Why?
I'm just done.
Yeah. No, gosh. Oh, well, we're excited to have you down here and welcome you back to the Southland, the verdant Southland.
Well, I as many times as I can get down, my whole thing is if there's a Waffle House nearby,
oh, yes.
I will go. I will be there. And I'm excited because I've got friends in the area. I have some friends that live right close to y'all.
Oh, yeah?
I've got some high school friends that are coming to the show.
Nice.
And yeah, I'm delighted. I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, we are looking forward to having you. I'm super excited. I know the first time I got to meet you and chat with you was last summer down in Wilmington. At the annual conference for NCPC. And I was like, all right, let's get Karen in here.
Do it. No, it's good timing. And what a good group of people those. I really enjoy coming to North Carolina. My mother was born and raised in North Carolina. She's from Burnsville.
Burnsville. Yeah. Up in the mountains.
So
that's a beautiful little town, small little town, but really, really cute.
A little tiny. So, but she grew up there and then she moved to Georgia, which is where I grew up. So.
Right, because you're from Athens, right?
Born and raised in Athens and still go home for games and still cheer for my team. And I just, that's one thing. And being in the Northeast is hard. I miss decent college football. They have college football here. I don't think we could really call it decent, though. It's just not, it's not great.
Yeah, up in Maine, it's hard to get the good college. Yeah. Well, the weather probably does, you know, it's.
Well,
training seasons are probably hard up there, right?
They're more like hockey and everybody cheers for the Patriots. And I'm not a pro football person. I grew up going to SEC football games I do miss going to games. So I try to come down. I spend a lot of time doing comedy down south on purpose.
Yeah. Just the work just keeps bringing me down there.
That's amazing. I got to go again. I'm so sorry.
Well, again, we are super excited to have you, especially in a beautiful time of the year.
Yes.
Last weekend of April is going to be gorgeous. It might even be hot. Might even start to get hot down here by then.
I won't know how to act. If I could just not have to wear snow boots, I'll be happy.
Nope. I'm good. Bring your sandals and your Claritin.
Yay.
Right. I'm sure you stayed down south long enough. We know what it's like that time of year.
No, that as you said, the pollening. I love that. Yes. That's a great name.
We have the pollening, and then it'll wash away, and then you'll waste money on washing your car, and then it's just whoop, everything's turned yellow again.
Exactly.
It's kind of like the opposite. So it's like in the fall season, you know, in North Carolina. Now I know you guys have fall up there, obviously. And I've never seen it, but I really want to go.
We do have a nice fall.
But, you know, in fall in North Carolina, it's like the timing of like, all right, how many times am I going to rake my yard? Like if you have a yard that has a lot of tree leaves, you know, because you're like, all right, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it and then have to do it again. Only so many times. The same thing with the pollen. It's like, how many times am I going to wash my car for it to just get pollened again?
Yeah, it's one more time. Well, I moved up here Masters weekend of 1996.
Oh, wow.
And I remember, you know, the azaleas are blooming at Augusta National on television and I'm looking out my window and it's snowing. And I was like, oh my God, what have I done?
Yeesh. So. That's right. Well, all right. Well, we are great. Just got off to a great start. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with Karen. We want to talk all about more about her history, where she's from, her comedy history, everything else she got into it, and what we can expect coming on April 26th. Be right back after the break. All right, welcome back, everybody, to this week's Know the Scene. Having a great conversation today with comedian Karen Morgan, comedian and attorney Karen Morgan. I want to talk about that in a little bit. I got to be careful. I want to talk about that later, about the attorney part. Because usually I have not found too many funny attorneys.
Most of us aren't.
Usually the whole attorney thing is like, and I have friends that are attorneys and I love attorneys. It's just, that's when you're like, everything takes longer with an intern.
There's a lot of words.
That's right. There really are. Yeah. It's so There's many words.
Well, it's because attorneys used to be paid by the word. So if you've ever seen a contract that's got way too many words in it that really don't need to be there, it's because years ago, attorneys were paid by the word.
See, I always thought that was a joke. Is that a real thing?
Well, it was before my time. But that's what we were told in law school.
Oh, okay.
But we were also told in law school to try to speak more plainly to people so that you don't sound like a person that uses way too many words because you're getting paid by the word.
Attorneys and insurance agents can sometimes have similar aspects because I feel like they're always the ones that are like, whoa, whoa, whoa. So here's the worst thing that could happen. We got to make sure we think about this. And you're like, yes, you're right. We do need to think about that. Yes.
We like to bring doom and despair wherever we go.
That's exactly. So then tell me how you take that. And now you become a comedian.
I always tell people.
Were you an attorney first?
I was an attorney first. I was actually a trial attorney in Atlanta. I went to law school in Atlanta after going to Georgia undergrad. And so I practiced law in Atlanta and, you know, I worked with Ed Garland's office. So we had some pretty, you know, interesting high end murder and all sorts of fun stuff. And I loved it. And then I moved to Maine but I always tell people I had a little bump between law and comedy and it was having 3 kids in 3 years. So, So the motherhood in the middle is what really propelled.
3 kids in 3 years. Wow. Yeah. You're a champ.
Yay.
I mean, that's like
three. We got started late. So if you get started late, you're like, well, how many do you want? And let's look at how many years we got. And when you're in it, when you're in that baby hole, I call it the baby hole.
When you're in the baby, make it sound like you're like in a war and you're in like the foxhole. You're like, call the baby hole.
We're in the trenches now where, you know, we're just, you know, fighting our way through bottles and diapers. I'm like, well, if we want one more, we better just do it
just
now.
Do it while we're here. Sure.
So that's what, so I was home with kids, which I loved. I actually went back to practicing law after my oldest was born. And then when my daughter was born, I said, what am I doing? You know, I'm leaving my kids with other people and I'm going to represent murderers. So let's think about this. And so, I said, no, I think I'd rather stay home. So I stayed home. But then is when I was like, I have got to get out of this house for just like 5 minutes once a week.
Right.
And so I went, a friend of mine was taking a stand-up comedy workshop in Portland, Maine, where I live. And I went and took the workshop and the timing was really good. Nick at Night was having Search for the Funniest Mom in America.
Right
when I was doing my graduation show for my comedy workshop.
Oh, and, okay.
Yeah. So my teacher for that sent my tape in to Nick at Night and I became a finalist. So that's sort of.
Because I knew you had done the Funniest Mom in America thing, but I didn't realize that was like, you're kind of like you had just learned comedy or just started working on comedy right before that even.
Yeah. That was my very first
way to go. Well, that shows you had the talent, you know?
It's interesting because my material, because I was home with these babies, was all motherhood related anyway. So the material lent itself to the show. But you know, when you have, if anybody's ever taken a stand-up comedy workshop, a lot of times you have what's called a graduation show, where, you know, your friends and family come and you kind of perform for them. And so my teacher did a videotape recording, you know, back in the day with a VHS giant tape that you put in a padded mount.
You had to like hold the camera like up on your shoulder, like it was a suitcase or something.
85
like,
pounds.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, so that's how I started. So it was an interesting start that I didn't expect, really. I didn't expect to kind of do this full time. And then I started doing it and like, this is way more fun than going back to a law office. So
but you're still licensed now, correct?
Oh, yeah, right? I am.
Is that just in case?
I still keep my, just in case.
There you go. Just in case something comes up, you're like, I can just still jump in there.
You never know. Just in case.
I can come out and be the funny attorney.
I wasn't funny when I was practicing. I tell people, you know, like, did you make the jury laugh? I'm like, no, you don't really want to make the jury laugh. That's not great.
It's not the goal. No, we can't.
It's not the goal.
We can't cut the tension a little bit.
The judge shouldn't be laughing at you. It shouldn't.
If you're going that direction, you may not be winning your case.
No, this is way more fun. I do the CLE hours every year just to yeah. have it, you know, backup plan.
I know folks that do that with like the real estate license, they'll keep it active. They do the thing every year. They just want to keep it active just in case.
Well, you know, and you work hard to get the thing in the first place. And I think that's what I go down every year. I'm like, do I really still, like, I've had friends that have just kind of let theirs go. They're like, I'm not ever going to do it again. I'm like, well, I worked so hard to get it, you know,
right.
And I'm like, so
I well, you know, it. you could always like join the board of a local nonprofit arts organization and exactly. always give that expertise if needed, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, it's all good.
There you go.
Give back to your nonprofits, everybody. It's all good.
That's right. That's right. Give back in every way you can. Yes. So where are you located in Maine?
In Maine. I live in Cumberland, Maine, which is between Portland, Maine and Freeport. I'm about 15 minutes from L.L. Bean. If you ever want to go shop at L.L. Bean and buy some boots, right near, we're kind of near the water. We don't see the water from our house, but we're close to the water. So it's
pulling you up on Google Maps so I can like see who this is.
Cumberland, Maine. We're Cumberland Center. Yeah.
You're kind of, wait. There's Portland. You're not, are you near the Acadia-ish area? Am I right?
No, Acadia's a little bit north of us.
A little bit more north of you guys.
If you hit Portland and go a little bit east and inland, you'll see Cumberland.
I see it. Oh, wow. That's cool. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. And, you know, we have a high school and one gas station, and we have to go to a different town to go to the grocery store.
Oh, is that now? Is this where you've been since you moved to Maine? Is this where you moved?
Yeah, well, when I first moved up, we lived in Portland downtown. So,
but I hear Portland's gorgeous.
Yeah, it is, and we have lots of awesome restaurants, and that we don't have a Waffle House, sadly. So this is another reason why I travel.
That's right. Got to get that awful waffle in.
There's no Waffle House here, which is sad. We have lobster rolls if you want them. We have plenty of those. But it's a cool place to live. It's been a great place to raise kids. And, you know, we don't lock our doors. It's still kind of, you know, a little bit 1950s back here.
Love it. So what motivated the move there?
I met my husband on a blind date.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, I was practicing law in Atlanta, and my husband was, he's in real estate, and he was building my aunt and uncle's house up here. And my aunt tried to set me up with him for like 2 years. And I was like, I am not so desperate as to have to go all the way to Maine for a blind date. But apparently I was. So I came up here. And he's from Boston. And my joke is he's from Boston. I'm from Georgia. So our kids are bilingual and we're very proud of them. So
sure.
But yeah, we met, and I think he had dated everybody up here, and I dated everybody down there. And it's just, you just get to a point in your life where, like, yeah, this works for me.
This works.
Yeah, it's good. And I told him it was true love because I had to take a second bar exam. That's how you know.
I was going to say, because you're licensed in both states.
Exactly. But I moved up here actually in 96, right before the Olympics. I did move Masters weekend. That was the weekend that I moved and questioned my life choice there for a moment. And I've been here. I really didn't think I'd stay. I thought I would like pretend to like it for a little bit. And then I would
move him back down.
But I'm still here.
That's cool. Well, good for you on hanging on to that tough, like being a Southerner, hanging on to that crazy winter stuff. Like the real winter stuff up there. Because New England winter is no joke.
Oh, it's brutal. But our kids are grew up skiing. I mean, all three of my kids were ski racers.
Did you guys go like Sunday River?
Yeah, we go to Sunday River. They raced.
Cool. I've been there once.
Yeah.
That's neat.
So it's right up the road from us. And they raced in high school and college. And it was crazy to me because I was like, I didn't know you could get a high school letter in skiing. But you can.
Oh, well, I guess that. Yeah. Well, I guess that makes sense. If you're where you guys are, you get enough snow consistently.
Yeah. Yeah. So they grew up, I learned how to ski when they learned how to ski. So I'm not a great skier, but I was a really good ski booster mom.
There you go. That's fine. Yeah. Do they do like the hockey? Do they do the hockey thing?
You can't really do both because of the seasons are the same.
Oh, okay,
so
okay.
My youngest Mac kind of wanted to play hockey, but we're like, he also kind of wanted to play basketball. I'm like, nope, everybody's already skiing. And sorry, we can only do one thing. My brain cannot comprehend. You know, we had to go all together in the car. So this is,
oh, that's smart. I like that. That's good planning. So you didn't, you were like, we're not doing the like trekking people to different things. We're all committing to this together as a family.
This is what we're doing. And it you know, it turned out great because now they're all really good skiers and they can ski anywhere.
Wow.
And it's really kind of cool. So
skiing is like the one thing I do, like, it's usually about once every 10 years. And I'm not quite 40, if that tells you anything. So I just have to remind myself, like, usually the trip starts with me being like, how do I do this again? And then I'm like, okay, cool. Let's stay slow.
Pizza.
That's right. If you French fry when you're supposed to pizza, you're going to have a bad time. All right. You might know what show, Billy, you know what show that's from? Yeah, that's right. All right. Well, we're going to come back, take another quick break. We're going to come back and more Karen. Thanks for listening, guys. Know the scene. Welcome back to Know the Scene, everyone. Justin here with you, talking with Karen Morgan, our comedian, coming to Kane Center for the Arts on April 26th. April 26th. A lot of tickets have sold. So if you do not have your tickets yet, please make sure to get them. KaneArts.org is where you can go to get those tickets for Karen Morgan. Karen, we are talking about your start into comedy. You took a class and then you did... Funniest Mom in America, like kind of, it was like a TV competition.
Right. Correct.
Right. So then how did that go? And then where did you go from there?
So it was the first season they had. I think they had three or four seasons of it, but this was the very first season that they did it. And so the format was a little bit different, but we sent in our tapes, and I think we were told was like over 1,000 people sent in tapes, and then they narrowed it down to 21 people. We went to New York and auditioned, then 14 people. Then I was in the top seven. And so the top seven were the finalists. I did not win. But you know, there were several, like Leanne Morgan was in it. My friend, Nancy Witter, who lives in Wilmington, who's a comic, who was in it. Sherry Day. There's a bunch of people. There were seven of us. From that, at the time, Blue Collar Comedy Tour was touring, and I was looking around at these very talented people going, we need a Blue Collar Comedy Tour for moms.
Yeah.
And so what I ended up doing was asking Sherry and Nancy to come with me, and we toured for 5 years. It was called Mama's Night Out.
Oh, it's cool.
And so that was my sort of first.
And you organized that yourself?
Yeah, I produced Mama's Night Out. So,
nice, way to go.
And again, not knowing what I was doing.
But that's what I'm saying. But that's what I'm saying. Like, you were just like, let's go. You're all in.
Yeah, but because it was, I just saw a need. I'm like, this seems like this would be, you know, again, it's a new industry for me. I was just brand new into it. But what I discovered was, which was lovely, a lovely accident, I will say, is that the performing arts centers around the country were really a great place to put that show.
Especially like.
Exactly. I mean, I was 40 when I started comedy, mm-hmm. you know, I'm almost 60. And at the time I was like, you know, I don't know that I want to be a comedy club comic. I don't think I'm too old to,
I don't want to deal with that mess.
I work clean. I'm not a prude. I ask my kids. I do swear at home, but it's just the way those shows were structured in the performing arts centers. It's just a nicer place to have a show, I think.
Yeah.
And so by accident, we kind of fell into that. And so we toured with that for about 5 years. And then I found that I was kind of missing my kids' games. And
yeah, I was going to say, yeah, because you jumped right in and your kids were still pretty young.
Yeah, they were very young. And my husband, by the way, was a great sport. He, you know, we're not a people who have staff. It's just us, you know.
So you're like, see you, honey, I'm on the road for a month or whatever. Yeah. And
Yeah, it was, but I it was mostly me. You know, I'm like, I've stopped practicing law to go do comedy, and now I'm leaving my kids to go. It didn't make sense to me. So, so after about 5 years of touring with that, I came off the road and did local stuff, still did some shows, but not like hard, you know, a hard schedule. And then the irony of all of it is that the year 2020 was the year all my kids were going to be in college at the same time.
And you know, it's going to be my big launch back.
I was going to go, but I'm going to be out. I'm going to be back out. And then 2020, on March the 12th, I actually was recording an album at a show, was supposed to be recording an album at a show for Sirius XM. And that, you know, that afternoon they canceled the show and everything shut down for a year and a half pretty much. And then the, you know, the theaters came back kind of last.
Slow. So yeah. Yeah. Theaters came back slow. I always, we were, I mean, our venue was under construction. Like we went to bid for construction at the end of 2020. So I always say that like, we like, just kind of like, we're lucky in our timing of all that. Right.
Yeah.
That, like, we didn't, you know, we were, I mean, we opened January 23. So, you know, so we were under construction. I know, we like just timed it out. We just hit the dip
window.
Yeah. We hit the perfect window. So, wow. Well, that's amazing. I mean, so what was it? I mean, you know, what was that jump like for you going from, because it seems like you kind of went 0 to 60, like into the comedy thing. Like you weren't like, oh, I'm going to dibble dab a little bit. You were like, oh, I'm taking a class. Oh, I'm on Funniest Song in America. Oh, I'm going on tour for 5 years.
Well, like, that's probably, I'm excited to learn. This goes back to maybe my lawyer brain. I'm not sure, but I was so excited to learn a new business.
Yeah.
And the comedy business is interesting.
Entertainment field in general, right? The entertainment industry in general is so interesting. Yes.
It's interesting. So I was trying to apply logic to places that I don't think you can really apply them in the entertainment business.
We try. I think we should always try.
Yeah.
Because those of us who are logical, I think if there's enough of us that can band together, eventually logic might somehow prevail.
Like, it's crazy.
Because you're right. Sometimes you run into folks in our industry and you're just like, I can't. No, like this is.
Well, it's the creative brain. I mean, our industry is built on creatives, obviously, but you have to have some business oriented brain people to make the structures of it work.
Exactly.
And, so I was able to sort of use both parts of my brain. I was an art major before I became a lawyer. So
that's cool.
So I think I was excited to learn an industry. And again, after you're starting at comedy at 40, there's different goals. You know, if I had started as a stand-up comic in comedy clubs as a 25-year-old, I would not, it wouldn't have been funny, first of all.
Right, sure.
And,
you started in a niche audience and like kind of a niche audience in a way, which is good. Like you were smart about, you know, you kind of already walked in going like, here's my niche audience. Here's my land where I work well. Like, I can explore outside of it always. Right. But like, here's my kind of target audience and it's working well, you know? Right. That's great. That makes sense. How you just managed to just kind of just take off in that way. How did your family feel about it? Were they always like, were they super excited that their mom's like doing this thing, or were they like, I don't know what mom's up to, I don't get it.
Where's mom? No, they've always been great. I have to, first of all, give major credit to my husband, who has always been a great supporter of this career move. He's not necessarily a fan of the comedy business because he's seen some of the craziness that
he's had to hear.
Yeah, as a supportive partner, but he's always been supportive of whatever it is that I want to do. So he's always been there. So, and the kids are now old enough, which is great, to appreciate what I do. And now they're comedy fans, and I produced the Nantucket Comedy Festival for about 8 years.
Oh, that's cool.
And so they got to meet a lot of really cool people when I did that, you know, really big names and stuff. And got to know about the business. So they're kind of interested in it as
Interesting.
Well.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Bring some more pragmatism to the, to the entertainment field.
Just, I always call it normal people. When I find a normal person, you know, I'm like, oh, I gravitate towards them.
Right.
You
know? Yeah. 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 I always appreciate those as well. Yes. Yeah. You know, like, hey, we're all here for the same mission. You know, we're all doing the same thing. We want, everyone's got to win. It's all good. Yeah. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
But that's awesome. I'm glad to hear that your kids. So are they, you said one's still in college and the other two are out now with jobs.
Correct. Yeah. So my youngest is finished. He's at College of Charleston and he was one of the fun kids that got to graduate. He was high school class graduating of 2020.
Oh yes. I've seen your bit about this. It's a good one.
Yeah. So bless him. So he's finishing up his last year, and my older two have graduated and are out and working. And so, yeah, it's definitely, you know, when I started my youngest was two. So we've come a long way.
Interesting. That's really interesting. I'm going to ask you a question after the break about that. Yeah. That's great. All right. That's the music. Bill's telling me it's time. It's time for a break. Yeah. We're going to take another quick break and then we'll be right back talking with Karen Morgan. Know the scene. Come on back, everybody. Know the scene. Welcome back, everybody. Talking today with comedian Karen Morgan, coming to Kane Center for the Arts on April 26th. Do still have some tickets left for that, so get them on kanearts.org. Karen, so since things came back from the pandemic, how did you like just be like, you know, like, I mean, once I guess the you know, the PACs and theaters, because that's where you really like to work in. Once they were really open and going again, was it just like full steam ahead? Like, how have you been approaching it?
I have sort of been approaching it full steam ahead. But during COVID, I sort of tried to embrace things like TikTok.
Right.
All the stuff that I think had, if it weren't for COVID, I never would have sort of embraced TikTok and you know, Instagram and all those things. So I did spend that time sort of building a bit of a fan base. Some of it was from stand-up clips. Some of it was from some voiceovers that I made during COVID that are just silly, but people loved them. There's a cooking lady that I do.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And so I started to gain this following of people that didn't even know I did stand up because I'm just doing these voiceovers because I'm stuck at home. Right. So when I came back, it was like, okay, let's start getting the word out. And I do all my own social media. I do, I don't have a manager. I do most of my booking. I have a couple of ladies that help me with booking. But I'm kind of hands-on, and if you send an email to me, I'm going to answer you. You know, I kind of like that. I like my demographic, and I think everybody in my demographic was ready to go back out. Everybody was ready to, be amongst people and to sort of laugh again. And I think that's what I love the most about my demographic that comes out to performing arts centers is that they're ready and they're happy to have a good time.
That is true. I think that's a great job of describing PAC audiences, at least that we've seen in our center too, is like, they know what they're coming for, you know, like they know what they're coming for. They're excited for it. They love it when you talk with them or talk to them. Like they love that interaction, you know, it's a lot of fun.
And I love it just as much as they do. Like it really does. I think that was hard during COVID. We had some Zoom shows.
Yeah.
People just trying to do, you know, anything.
Right.
And I found that the Zoom shows were very difficult because sometimes you couldn't even see the people. So it wasn't like you're having a conversation like you and I are having. There was, you could just see squares of heads.
Yeah. And they're just like watching and you can't, they're not.
And most of them had some had their cameras off, some had their volume off, but you know, there was no energy exchange between the audience and me. And I, you really kind of need that. That's really why we do what we do. And so being in the performing arts centers, I actually do a Q&A at the end. I love that. So it's just, I've really enjoyed since, now it's taken from 2020 to now, it really has taken this long to kind of between, I think we started getting shows back in the end of 21. I did my second dry bar at the end of 21.
You know, so, I feel like comedy, if I think about it, so comedy right now, and you could tell me if this is as the actual comedian in the conversation, you can tell me if I'm right on this, but I feel like comedy is like at a peak that we have not seen. Like it's at a peak, like with so many, comedy used to be this niche. Like even for me running centers that like I booked the centers, like comedy was tough. I mean, you know, it's tough. You had to find the right name or this or that. And I think maybe because, like you said, maybe because COVID forced everyone to take like a year and a half-ish, depending on where you were, year and a half-ish. And like, you know, and the entertainment that you could do was mostly online. So like that demographic that you're talking about, you know, traditionally could have been a hard demographic to get to come to comedy. Because like most of the time you got exposed to comedy through TV or internet or things like that. And that demographic wasn't on the internet as much.
Correct.
COVID comes, all of a sudden they're exploring YouTube more. They're exploring these things. They're exploring TikTok or whatever. And they're finding these comedians. And now it's given like a whole new birth to this comedic wave, I feel like.
No, I agree. I think not since the 80s, you know, when stand-up really was kind of started in a bigger form. And then it kind of dropped off and comedy clubs, you know, closed and that sort of thing. And then I do think there's something about the global community online that you are able at your fingertips to type in and find great comedy.
Yeah.
And I do think that, you know, I've been fortunate with my dry bar specials because that has reached an audience that I would not have reached otherwise.
Right.
From here in Cumberland, Maine. Right.
Right. Exactly. So,
it has been very valuable to the whole industry. And I think it has created some people. Now there's a lot of different genres. I always tell people comedy is like art.
Yes, I agree. So many different genres of comedy.
It is, you know, is so subjective. It is, you know, you can have a Picasso and you can have a Velvet Elvis and somebody's going to like one more than the other and that's okay.
Yeah. And there's some comedians now that like, it's the crowd work thing.
Yeah.
You know, where that's like their thing crowd work. And then there are others that are more of the traditional storytelling and there's others that are, you're absolutely right. Yeah. Which is kind of neat to see that happen. Yeah. I was in college, I was a theater major and I took a comedy class where we studied different types of comedy throughout history.
Oh, cool.
And we did a section on stand-up. So it's like, it's really interesting to see all this like coming around again right now.
Yeah. It's in the genre itself. I mean, genre is maybe not the right word, maybe art form, pick, are you going to be a photographer? Or are you going to be a painter? In comedy, you can do any of it. Like there's improv. I love to watch improv.
Yes.
I am awful at improv. It is not for me. I took
it's a whole different thing.
Classes. You know, I'm like, nope, that's me. Cause I tell true stories. I think it's the Southerner, you know, mine is all sort of storytelling based from the truth. And improv is being somebody, a character that you're not.
Right.
Anyway, but there's no wrong about it. So I tell people, you know, when people are booking me, I say, listen, I work clean, you know, and when I work in comedy clubs, which is very rarely, I say, you know, can you please have, you know, my opening act be a clean act? And sometimes they can get them and sometimes they can't. And, you know, we do our best. But again, I go back to the PAC audiences that they're just there. They're ready. They're ready to laugh. Everybody's ready to be out. Everybody's great. They're invested in the evening, which is what I love.
Yes. Yes. 100%. So one of the questions I wrote a question to ask you. So I'd like to hear quickly about, because of course we're getting into like this really great comedy stuff in the last segment, but what is, how has the transition happened for you in your material, being that you started, because your material is a lot of family, I mean, it's great stuff, I've seen it. It's a lot of family-based stuff around your personal stories, right? With your kids and your husband and your families. So, you know, you started this when, like you said earlier, they were really young. Now they're in college, they're getting, you know, they're moving out, they're getting their jobs. Like, How is this changing your material? You know what I mean? If they're not around as much, do you worry about not getting as much material, or are they just as funny as they always were?
Oh, it's still as funny as, I mean, every phase of parenting, just it'll start, there's marriage and then there's parenting. So every phase of parenting changes. Mm-hmm. And as you said, I started when they were little. I went from the, you know, the little kids, the middle school stuff, and, you know, hating the other moms that had to bring the snacks and all that age group. And then there was the college dorm shopping bits, and, you know, mm-hmm. all based on, and now that they're older, it's just different. It's different phases of life. You know, and I write what's happening in my life. So it just kind of goes with them. And the same with marriage. I mean, my husband and I celebrate our 27th this year.
Wow. Congrats.
So 28 this year. Marriage stuff changes. The majority right now of my set, because I'm doing an hour long set at these shows, is nostalgia, which kind of came about during the pandemic, ironically, because I was doing a podcast because I was stuck at home. So I was doing this podcast called The Purple Bike, where I went through all the years from 1975 to 2015, the 40 years of my purple bike, where I did the nostalgia of growing up in the 70s and mm-hmm. 80s. Mm-hmm. And so what I found during COVID, when I started like putting that material sort of out, like just for my benefit more than anything, because mm-hmm. I found during COVID, it was very comforting mm-hmm. to remember how we grew up and how it was, you know, we're in COVID, everybody's afraid, we're, you know.
Everything's so uncertain.
We're spraying 409 on the groceries, everybody's right. freaking out. And I'm like, remember when we, you know, got sea monkeys? Like I went back to the, you know, the old stuff of growing up. So what I'm finding with my demographic that comes out to the PACs right now, because they're about my age, is everyone loves this nostalgia. They yeah. love this it's, sort of trip back.
Yeah, nostalgia in general. I think I saw an article about this recently that like nostalgia is just a big, like everyone is picking up on it more so now.
Right,
you know,
right.
And I think it's, and it's not just the millennials, which I am. I'm an elder millennial. Everyone's getting their generations wrong because they keep blaming everything on millennials. I'm like, yeah. y'all, we're already grown up and got kids by now. All right, go to the next one. Yeah. Go to blame yeah. the next
which,
one.
Which I do acknowledge in my set. You'll hear it when
yeah,
I'm
thank,
when
good. There. Thank you. Because everyone keeps blaming millennials. I'm like, guys, I'm almost 40. I'm a millennial.
Yeah. yeah.
So, but I love that and I appreciate that. So what's coming up? We got like a quick 30 seconds. I'm gonna plug your show, but before that, what's coming up next? You got any new specials you're working on? Anything like that, or just keep on touring?
My third album is about to come out.
All right.
It's called Shiny Happy People Laughing. It's named from the REM song with special permission to use the title from REM themselves.
Oh, which touch you.
Very, yeah, I recorded it in Athens, which is my hometown.
There you
and
go.
That's where they're from too. Yeah. So that's going to come out soon. I think it's on its way to SiriusXM right now, and then it'll be out available. But that's my next thing. And yeah, just touring all over. I add dates every day. So it's just KarenMorgan.com is my website. And if anybody wants to come and also come to this show, because it's going to be great fun. And I will meet everybody in the lobby after the show and hug necks and take pictures. And I love to see people after the shows.
All right. Well, you heard it here. Thanks for being with us today, Karen. KarenMorgan.com, KaneArts.org, April 26th. Make sure to get your tickets, everybody, for a great night of laughs. Karen, have a wonderful day. Thanks for coming down.
Thank you. We'll be right back.